So we are in a series in the book of Matthew, and we've broken it up into five different parts. This is the end of the age discourse. We're in the back half, the very end of Matthew, as we look what Jesus had to say about the end times and all of the events that would transpire before he returns. And so just to sort of set this up a little bit, some of you know, maybe most of you know, that I was on a trip a couple of weeks ago to Saskatchewan to visit my dad. His 90th birthday was April 16th, actually, and we celebrated a few days early. It turns out that he ended up in the hospital about 4 days after I left, had emergency surgery. So I'm so glad that I went to see him because it was dicey for a while. And but he came through that. My sister is helping care for him, but they transferred him to a different hospital yesterday where he's going to stay for some rehab until he can go not back to independent living anymore. Unfortunately, he's going to go into assisted living. So yeah, pray for my dad, my sister, as they navigate these kind of tricky waters. My dad's dementia has really escalated through this, and he's very confused. So prayers for him and my sister, Elaine, George and Elaine, there would be great. But when I went on this trip. It was quite the journey, and I won't bore you with all the details, but I got a picture up here of part of my trip. Now, I need to explain this, okay? So I spent the first night in Karenport, Saskatchewan. I went to school at Briarcrest. That's where that is. And so and the next day was my dad's birthday party. So my brother lives in Karenport, and I need to go to Moose Jaw and then up to Chamberlain, back to Saskatoon. A little extra driving to do. I flew to Calgary from Abbotsford, and then I did the rest by car. And so I get halfway to Chamberlain, and the highway is completely roadblocked because there was an accident. And so I had to quickly go to plan B and figure out the back roads of Saskatchewan. So this was amazing. I mean, at one point, the wind kind of blew up and a tumbleweed hit my car. And there was like no traffic. Like the lower mainland compared to this, I told John before the service, like Portland to Agassiz is kind of like whiplash. So from like the lower mainland BC to this is like extreme whiplash, okay? And so there was lots of time to think. There was lots of time to crack spits. I went through almost a pound of those things on this trip, and it keeps me awake, and it is just so awesome. Coffee and spits, that's all I need. I could drive forever. And so go to the next picture. Oh, there we go. So look, there's a truck. Like 45 minutes later, there's a vehicle. And then another half an hour. Oh, look, there's another vehicle. And there's a tree. We used to joke at Briarcrest when I was a student there that there's no point in running away. You know, if you find school tough, don't run away because they'll see you 3 days later. They will find you and they will bring you back. Anyway, what else do you see or not see in these pictures? What do you see? Sky? Yeah, yeah. What else? What's that? Yeah, yellow, brown, whatever. It's all brown. So like our daughter-in-law, I'm sending these pictures on my journey. And she's like, she responds and she says, but it's so brown. She has no idea what the prairies are like, you know, before summer hits or true spring. I'm like, you're absolutely right. It is so brown. Okay, we can get rid of the pictures. That leads into our text. Why don't you stand with me as we read God's word? If you're able to do that, that'd be fantastic. Few verses today. Jesus said, from the fig tree, in Luke, I think it's 21, Luke says, from a fig tree and other trees. So, you know, Saskatchewan trees qualify. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So, Father, help us to understand this text a little bit today, and bless us, Lord, with however you want to move in our hearts and speak to us today, with conviction, with comfort, with your compassion towards us, Lord, as we look into this small but very packed couple of verses about the end times. So we commit this time to you. Bless us, Lord, with understanding and the ability to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and have a seat. So given that Jesus said that trees can teach us, what are we supposed to learn? There's two things I want to focus on today. The first is, I've just simply called it learning from trees. What can we learn from trees? You know, branches and leaves this morning are our teachers. That's what Jesus said. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as the branches become tender and put out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. I want to take these couple of verses here, 32 to 34, and kind of work them backwards very quickly because, I mean, there's so much, but we're just scratching the surface. Number one, like, what does this generation mean? Is it only the people that Jesus was speaking to him, those immediately in front of him, his disciples and the crowds who were listening to him give this discourse, these teachings? Some theologians would argue that this generation means only them. It's certainly true that that was the generation which would see signs of the desolation of that causes abomination and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus' words are eternal and he's speaking to us. Like they're in this book for a reason. And so this generation, I believe, there was a generation, Jesus refers back to Daniel. There's his generation and the things that he saw, which Jesus referred to. Then there was the generation he was speaking to, but then there's our generation because there's a future. There's the church generation. And there is a time, Jesus still hasn't returned, so these words are for us. There's application for us when we see all these things. So in a barren, brown environment, I don't mean Saskatchewan, I mean our culture. When branches become tender and the leaves shoot out, you notice. So like those pictures that I showed you of Saskatchewan, believe me, when the trees, and maybe they're there already, I was there only a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half, no, 2 weeks ago, I'll bet you that there's already green appearing. And as soon as those branches bud and the green pushes through them, you take immediate notice. It's not so visible here. It is in some ways in the Lower Mainland, but on the prairies, it's just immediate. Your eyes go to the green. And if they don't, your head is buried in the sand. And I wonder, you know, as we go through our lives doing our things, are our heads buried in the sand? Are we really paying attention to just how near Jesus is to his return? I believe he is at the gates. Now, they believed that a couple of thousand years ago too, but we're going to get there about why, you know, they believed it and so must we. So this generation definitely has application for us. All these things, Jesus said, all these things, everything that came before this text that we read today, Jesus talks about wars and rumors of wars. That's a little bit applicable to our culture. Right now, there's so many rumors milling about how Israel is going to respond to Iran. And I'm like, there's people in Israel criticizing, you know, their own prime minister for a really wimpy response. And I said to my wife the other day, just no. Like it's coming yet. Like, that was maybe just a bit of a decoy. That's my personal opinion. But like, there's rumors. What's going to happen? Of course, that's in addition to Gaza and Russia and Ukraine and all of these places around the world. Famines, you see, poverty and suffering that impacts children greatly is escalated when there's war, when there's famine, when there is food shortages in the world. Children suffer, and we're seeing an escalation of all of that kind of stuff. And that's what compassion is trying to alleviate. When there's persecution against Christians, that's what Jesus said would increase. When there's false prophets, we have so many people out there saying all kinds of weird things these days. We have to be so discerning. That's why Jesus put an emphasis on his word, and we're going to get there yet. When you see the abomination of desolation, Pastor John Cornelson, our youth guide, did an amazing job last week, didn't he? Like, he was like, with fear and trembling, he's standing in this pulpit, and he asked me twice, Eldon, would you sure you don't want to take this passage? I'm like, no, buddy, I want to hear what you have to say based on your study. He did a great job with this abomination of desolation, and I'm not going to rehash what he said, but essentially, multiple times. Daniel saw it in his day with Babylon and the whole exile. Jesus and the generation he talked to with the destruction of the temple in AD 70 and all of that, they saw temple worship stop cold, the temple desecrated and then destroyed. And I'll let you know that the abomination of desolation is happening now against the temple of the living God. Do you see the leaves? Do you see the branches budding? Do you believe that Jesus is near? The temple and its worship today are under constant attack. And I'm not talking about people trying to restore the temple on the Mount in Jerusalem. I'm talking about us here right now. This building is not the church. It frustrates me when people say, I'm going to church, as if the building houses the Spirit of God. I mean, he's here because we're here. The church is us. The temple of God is where God's Spirit takes up residence, and that's in us. Do we worship him 24/7? We're going to talk about a theology of worship. Is it just 20 minutes of singing on a stage? Is that worship? The temple and its worship are under constant attack. Satan is not just throwing darts and flaming arrows these days. He is lobbing hand grenades. He is launching surface-to-air missiles at the church, at everything that we, the temple of God, stand for. The leaves are coming out more and more. Our humanity is under attack. We are made in the image of God. We are image bearers of God Almighty, and that is being destroyed. Our sexuality, our gender, our very image is being targeted. Our relationships under attack. Marriage, which represents a picture of Jesus and his bride. That's what marriage is really all about. The gospel on display. Family, children, poverty, the mutilation of children is under attack. We are under attack in our relationships, in our humanity, and in our beliefs. The fact that we declare that Jesus is the only way, he is the truth, and he is the life is mocked. The leaves are out. And as you look at our world, what do you see? Is your head in the sand? Are you paying attention to the signs that Jesus talked about? And does it ready your heart for Christ's return? And does it soften your heart for those that don't know him? Because now we back up to the top of that verse. We're taking it in reverse. Jesus talked about tender branches putting out leaves. The word tender literally is soft, a new shoot. And the only way to know is to touch it. Farmers have a very intimate relationship with their crops, with trees, especially fruit trees. And I can still picture my dad, you know, examining his crops, going out into the fields on the prairies and getting the dirt, getting the leaves in his hands and examining them. What's going on here? He watched very carefully all of the stages. Is it doing what it's supposed to do properly? What does it need? And you have to touch it to be able to do that. What do you feel when you look out at the barrenness of our culture? Do you have your hand literally on the pulse of the branches and the leaves? Is your heart moved to compassion, to hopefulness, to expectancy? Tender leaves, and when you see all of these things, the word see is not just physical eyesight. It means to perceive, to take note of, to consider, to mull it over in your mind, to experience. You can't experience the leaves coming out or the branches coming out unless you are in it. Our faith is tangible, friends. It's tangible. When we feel, when we touch, when we see and experience the world through Jesus' eyes, and when we are the hands and the feet of Jesus, when we go to the places he goes, when we see the things he sees, our hearts are stirred and we long for his appearing and we long for those who don't yet know him. Friends, our hearts must break as we experience our world. Jesus had compassion and he fed hungry crowds. Jesus had compassion and he touched the blind, the lame, the leper. He healed them. He gave them hope. He changed their world, and they put their faith in him. Christ is near. He's at the gates. He's knocking. And we need to see him at those gates and see people who are not yet ready to enter those gates who need to be with him forever. The parallel passage in Luke that I referred to earlier that refers to not just fig trees, but all trees, Luke says that when you see all of these things, he adds this, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Matthew says, you know that Jesus is at the very gates. Luke said, you know that the kingdom of God is near. We want people to enter the gates of the kingdom. Amen? That's why we need to pay attention. Christ is near. But hang on, you say, you know, he said this 2,000 years ago. How near can he be? I mean, is this even going to happen at all? We keep talking about it. A couple of things. First of all, Matthew 24, verse 14. Jesus said, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Friends, we have work to do. That's why Jesus is patient. And the longer we, I'm including myself in this, bury our head in the sand, and we don't pay attention, and we keep our mouth shut, and we don't do the work of Jesus and be his hands and be his feet, he will keep being patient. Because people need to hear the gospel. They need to respond and come to faith in him. So Peter wrote this, bit of a longer passage, but I'll read it. About 10, 11 verses. Scoffers will come in the last day with scoffing, following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Just life goes on. For they deliberately overlooked the fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. Word is powerful. And that by means of these, the world that existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. You see, Jesus, he's only been gone a couple of days. So let's not get deceived by saying, where is this promise of his coming? It's coming. He's only been gone a couple of days. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens. Oh, here, I'm going to back up. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient to you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar. That's what Jesus said in Matthew. And the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and its works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells, according to his promise. Let's go to the second thing we need to do from our text, and that is to lean on the words of Jesus. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. You see, branches and leaves are our teacher, but God's word is our truth. It's our truth. I was reading in my devotions this morning, and Psalm 130 and Psalm 19, they were in two different areas. In Psalm 130, it says, the psalmist says, I wait for the Lord. That should be our posture. We wait for him. My soul waits, and in his word, I hope. In his word, people these days talk about, I need to be true to me. This is my truth. You know, be true to yourself. We have no truth apart from God's word. This is truth. The living word and the written word is what needs to guide us as we long for his appearing and hasten it. Jesus said in John, he's praying to his Father, he said, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And Jesus said, we need to be sanctified in truth as we look for the appearing, because the way we live matters. It makes a difference in how people enter the kingdom of God or not. Scripture is trustworthy. And the Spirit of God in us always points to what Jesus said. The Spirit guides us into the truth of Jesus and what he said and what is written. And what is written is that he is returning soon. He's at the gates. Isaiah 40, a voice says, "Cry," and alas, I said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade. But the word of our God stands forever." You see, the second coming of Christ is not a figment of our imagination. Yes, Jesus spoke figuratively. He used figures of speech, but they point to sure realities. He is returning. He's at the very gates. Psalm 119, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I have sought your precepts." So Peter asked the questions, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming day of God? We need to ask ourselves that question and allow Scripture, Jesus' words, to be our truth, to guide us. As we look for tender branches and green leaves, Scripture says that we need to be watchful and thankful. We need to live sexually pure lives. We need to shine like stars as we hold out the word of life. We need to shine. Give Jesus a good name and a reputation. Point people to him. We need to let our speech be full of grace, seasoned with salt. We need to honor those in authority and submit to them. We need to pray. We need to be kind, compassionate, and merciful. We need to take care of the widow and the orphan, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and visit the prisoner. We need to love deeply, for love covers over a multitude of sins. We need to live and speak the gospel, which is the good news about Jesus. So James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. As we wrap up here, as I wrap up, something I hardly ever do, but I just ask that you just close your eyes for a minute and do a little reflecting on what's been said here, what God is saying. In Hebrews, this is one of my favorite verses. It says, the word of God, is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So as you think this morning about the return of Christ, and as you think about what is going on in our world, as you think about what Jesus requires of us as we wait, let's let the words of God, Scripture, judge our attitudes and our thoughts. What keeps us from hearing and seeing and experiencing the world the way Jesus does? From touching the branches and seeing the leaves? From being moved to compassion with those who are in poverty and suffering because of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines? Is it superiority? You know, we're better. We live in a better place. Is it racism? Is it entitlement? I deserve this. Is it greed? Not wanting to share and be generous with others? Is it idolatry, going after things that promise much but are lifeless, dead, and lead to destruction? Is it sexual immorality, slander? God spoke to me this week about isolation and apathy, not interacting with those who need Jesus because my life is too busy. I don't care. Is it the worry or the fear of man? Listen, all of these things will keep us from being doers of the word. and we need to deal with them so that we can see, we can touch, we can experience the world the way Jesus does. And I want to let you know this morning, I'm not pointing fingers. Because for every one that goes out, there's four more pointing back at me. This passage was convicting to me this week. So this closing prayer is as much mine as it is for all of us. Let's pray together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting, so that I can lead others in your way everlasting. You're the potter, we're the clay. We want to be molded and shaped and informed by what you say, not anything else. We want our hearts to be touched and softened by your word and your spirit so that we can respond to others the way you would respond. Show us your will, show us your truth, and we will say yes and amen to that because you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. In Jesus' name and for the sake of your kingdom, amen.
Amen.